I know you've just sat down. But do you think we could all just stand a moment? Because I think God's going to do something incredible with us this morning. And I felt Jesus just say to me this morning, as I woke up, "Will you roll the red carpet out? Will you roll the red carpet out right to your heart? And let me, the King, the Majesty, walk down this red carpet and just touch your heart." And we just say, Lord, today, that's what we want you to do. We want you to walk down this carpet. And we want you to touch our heart. And we want to do this thing, Lord, this morning. We want to be able to bow. And we want to be able to give you the whole of our lives. That nothing belongs to us, but all to you, Jesus. And so we say in this moment, Lord, would you come? In this moment, would you speak? In this moment, would you move in power? In this moment, would you bring revelations that would transform our hearts and minds? In this moment, Lord, the God of heaven, would you come? And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to move amongst us and speak to our hearts and to transform us. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. And do you want to be seated? Well, it's a new thing for me to stand in this strange box today. But God's all about the new. And so I'm bringing this scripture this morning. And Bethan, I just want to thank you for reading Psalm 95. Bethan up there. Thank you, Bethan, for this morning, because that was the scripture that God had given me with this word. So I want to say thank you. You're a precious, precious lady. And God has been speaking to me about bringing the new thing, and that God is going to come and really move in power and change some things in this church and change some heart and mind attitudes in this church. And there's going to be a radical move and rustle. I don't know if you know. Remember, Russell and Laura sometimes come to the church, and the Jules and Pete's friend. And he sent a text message to Pete last week. So Russell and Laura, if you're listening, thank you, Russell, for hearing God. And he sent this text message to say that there was a shift happening in this church. And he didn't know whether it was a shift that was going to take place or it was happening. But I believe that this morning is going to be a vital time for us as we come together. When Carl got up last week to lead prayers, I don't know, we were sat at the back because Jules and Pete were doing the talk and they were sat at the front, and we were sat at the back, and I could feel something definitely changing. The vibe of the church, I can't explain, the atmosphere of the church, something was just changing. And Carl just spoke with such authority, with such faith, and there was just something about the way he spoke with such great passion. And God wants to come by the power of the Spirit and rest on us all in that way, because he wants to do this with us as a church. He wants to bring this daring, extraordinary faith. And for him to do that, and when God deposits that from the heavens, something has to move in us. Because when God gives us the daring, extraordinary faith, we are compelled to do something about it. So that's where I'm coming from today. So I'm going to read you this scripture. I'm not doing a preach. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to read this scripture to you. And it was just one line that came out to me. And that's how God gives me things, because I hear the scripture, and then I guess really prophetically God just starts to speak to me, just his voice. So it says, we're reading from Mark 2, verse 18 to 22. "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, And people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but the disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guest fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom, which is Jesus, is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins, and the new wine is for fresh wineskin." And I feel that God wants to put new wine into new wineskin this morning. And he can't fit new wine, a new life, and fresh power, and daring, extraordinary faith into all forms, and all mindsets, and all patterns of doing things, because God is about the new. And this today, I just want to tell you, is a new day. And a new day, I got up this morning, and I don't know how you felt. I was excited to come to church to worship, but I was just excited to be with Jesus. I don't know what you're like as you wake up. I don't know if this is an excitement. Every day, can I just tell you this? Every day is a Sunday. We don't have to wait for Sundays. Every day is a Sunday. You can get up and be as excited as you are today every single day of your life, because God comes, and when God comes, he moves in power and he speaks to us. But there's something about the new that we have to get rid of some old things. And so, because God can't put something new into something that is old. And so this is what God is doing to us. So Jesus was actually speaking to the religious. And I guess he was just saying to them bluntly, because I only know it in Yorkshire terms. He was just saying to them, you can't just have the law without me. You need me. That's all he was saying. You just need me. You can't go around doing this in the old ways of what you were like, because I came, I am coming, I'm here to fulfill the law. But they just couldn't get it. And let me tell you, we can't do anything without Jesus Christ. We can't do anything in our lives without him. And it is the most important thing. And you know, you need to get excited. Without Jesus, we're rubbish. Without the power of the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us, we're rubbish. Without the power of the Holy Spirit revealing God's love to us, we're rubbish. We're absolutely rubbish. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us. And so we can be those religious people. We can have religious, judgmental attitudes. We can be prideful at times. And we know that because as we've read through James, we know that we've had to adjust. But I want to please listen to this very carefully. It isn't like, phew, James is over, let us get on to another thing. Please don't have that attitude. I could go do James all over again. Hard work is hard work. And let me tell you, we need to do James every day of our life. We don't just discard James once we've done James. We take James into our every single day of our lives. And we apply it over our lives and hearts, because do you know what James does? He looks like Jesus. It sounds like Jesus. All the words are God-inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired. And that's what we're meant to do, look like Jesus. And so there's some things that we have to adjust to daily. So we don't just adjust. And I don't really believe that we have to go digging and searching for anything. But if you are somebody that is led by the Spirit, and if you ask the Holy Spirit every day to be with you, the Holy Spirit will just speak to you. He will tell you those things in your life. You don't have to go dig them up, search for them, do any of this like dark soul of the night. We don't like any of that. But the Holy Spirit will just tell you, this is where you need to adjust. This is what you need to sort out in your life. Just get down on your knees in a moment, pray, put it right with God and move on, because there's some things that we've got to do. We can't keep going round behaving like we were. This is what God is saying to us through James, that we've been doing. These are the new ways, these are the new patterns of behaviour. Be kind to one another, speak kindly to one another. And so when Jesus wants to deposit something new and to give us more insight into his kingdom upon the earth, and he wants to tell us what that looks like, and he wants to show us really this broken generation that he needs to do for us to do something about it. And when I was just thinking about this, I felt that God said to me, I trust you, church. I trust you with my kingdom. I trust you. Now, I don't know if you understand that, because I don't think God trusts all churches with his kingdom. But he trusts this church, because he's seen how we want to get there. He's seen that our hearts are good, that he's seen that there is unity, and wherever there is unity, God will command a blessing. And he's seen those things about us, and he trusts us. And when he trusts us with something, what we have to do as a church, we have to step up to that. We have to step up to the mark. We have to step up to the challenge. And we have to get rid of everything that hinders us moving forward. And you've got to understand, if you look back over the history of the church and you go back to Acts 2, the whole thing that happened in Acts 2 was the Holy Spirit descended. And for when God brings a revival, me and Dave were just praying it in this morning, when God brings a revival, it's only him that can do it. But let me tell you, the world is watching us. And I want to ask this question. Can they see Jesus in you? Can the world see Jesus in you? So do you speak Jesus? Do you live Jesus? Do you breathe Jesus? Or is he just like this Sunday add-on? Well, I don't think for hardly anybody in here is an add-on. In fact, I would say that he isn't an add-on for anybody in here. You breathe him and you sleep and you're with Jesus, and he's just your everything. And it's very, very important that we understand and get into this place where the Holy Spirit ignites something and ignites a power in it, passion in us, that the world sees something so different about us. So, like, I've met a few people this week, some people that aren't Christians, and I just ask God to give me opportunities, and I don't want to miss them. I want to ask you, have you had opportunities that God has given you? Have you taken them up, or have you missed them? Because we don't want to miss any opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And every opportunity, there was a girl that I met this week, and oh, what a funny question. A daughter wanted to know why Dave really had been a carpet fitter, because she said that you are born a vicar, and she couldn't understand why he'd been a carpet fitter and he wasn't, and that he'd done this job, because she said, you're only, and she isn't a silly girl, she's an intelligent girl, but you're born a vicar, so you can't do anything else, you're just born a vicar. Well, it was so funny, so you can imagine, in for a penny, in for a pound, I was well in there. So I give her the whole of really how God got hold of Dave, and it's all about Jesus and personal relationship, and how God comes and brings a calling over our life, and gifting and passion. And so I was in there, and you know, it was so lovely, because when she got up to go, she got hold of me, and this is what she said, don't let's leave it long. She said, meet me in another couple of weeks so we can talk again. Now, let me tell you, people somewhere are desperate for Jesus. They're desperate to see something about Jesus, because they don't understand him and they want to know more and more. She kept asking me question after question about all sorts of things, and I kept answering her. Don't miss the opportunities. And so I want to share something with you that I feel is happening with us as a church. And I want to share it, so I want it to be very clear and concise. So I may close my eyes a couple of times. You have to know that we're in a battle. So as we're advancing God's kingdom, you have to know that the enemy is like having a bit of a rage somewhere. There's a war going on. And if you don't understand that, you'll get taken out. That's just the truth of it. If you don't understand that there is the power of Jesus Christ, but there is the enemy's schemes and the enemy's mischief ways. And I believe that God has revealed some things to us as a church so we can move forward and put some things down this morning. And Jules, bless her, was really listening to God one day, and she was praying, and God had reminded her of some churches that she'd been in, or that Pete and Jules had been in, and churches that they'd gone to. And me and Dave can actually agree with this massively. So sometimes when you walk into a church, you can actually feel Jesus, but you can also feel something that isn't quite right. And so you can feel sometimes there's maybe a bit of pride or a bit of control, or there's something that just feels a bit amiss. So sometimes you can feel this, maybe there's a bit of disunity, a bit of gossip, a bit of something. If you've got a discerning spirit, you can feel those things. And so God was saying this to Jules, and he was showing her, and I guess she asked the question, you know, why was he showing her these things? And she dared to ask this question to God: is there anything in our church? And so it's not something that you can feel, because she said she had a sense that God was showing her. It was very subtle, but God was saying, yes, there is something. And then he showed her this natural sponge. And a natural sponge, it was like the water was all absorbing into it, but it was not going anywhere, Jules, is that right? It was just sitting there, just kind of seeping out. And I think she had the sense that God was saying that we're really good at kind of soaking in all the words that God's saying, which I think we are. And I think we hear them. And we're very good at listening to the prophetic things, and we're good at doing those things. But God, Dave has asked this question: God, why aren't we moving? And sometimes he gets disappointed, and he thinks, well, there's good preaching here, and there's the prophetic moving, and there's good worship, amazing worship, but why aren't we growing any bigger? Why aren't people coming through the doors? Why aren't we seeing something extraordinary? When God, and we believe as a church that God is so mighty and powerful, why is it not happening? So me and Dave, we had some time with Jules and Pete, and we just prayed, and we prayed that God would reveal what it was. And we didn't know there and then. And then the next morning, that God said, when I woke up, I felt God say to me, I've already told you what it is. I've already informed you what it is. And if you remember, I did a talk on adjusting, and I shared this thing, and I was actually confessing my sins, and I was saying about hesitation, and I was saying what I do sometimes when I see somebody or I know God is giving me an opportunity, I hesitate, and then I miss what God was doing. And I was repenting of it, and when I repented of it, I asked God to change me, totally change me. And I'd say, with the Holy Spirit's help, I believe that I haven't missed some of those opportunities that God's given me, but I felt God was saying, there is a spirit of hesitation over this church. And when we hesitate, what we do is we make excuses. And then these excuses, this is what the enemy does, he's very subtle. And it comes to invade our hearts and minds. So we make excuses why we don't go to prayer meetings. We make excuses why we don't come to things. We make excuses. We make excuses why we don't give the gospel away. We make the excuses why we don't pray for people. We make excuses, excuses. And really what it is unbelief. It's because we don't really believe how powerful our God is, and we don't want to do that, church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to hesitate, and I don't want to make excuses. Because do you know what? When you hesitate and make excuses, do you know what the world sees? It sees no confidence in their God. And I want to ask you, have you got confidence in the God of heaven? So when a miracle happens with Leslie, and I don't know if anybody knows the enormity of fibromyalgia, but it absolutely takes over you. You've got pain everywhere. And when they prayed for her, and she said, it's just like it melted away. And then Grace gets up. Well, let me tell you, sometimes God does heal and sometimes he doesn't, and we don't understand why, but that does not stop us praying for people. It does not stop us saying to the enemy to flee and praying the power of Jesus over people's lives. And so this hesitation and these excuses, I think we have it in so many things. So when me and Dave were on holiday, we just found ourselves doing it with so many things, just like hesitating, and we just said, what are we doing? What are we playing about? And God showed me there's this hesitation over Selby Town. And it's subtle. And what happens is people come, they hear the gospel, and what do? They hesitate. They make an excuse why they're not going to come to Jesus. They make an excuse why they're not coming in the church. But if we don't get it sorted in here, guys, if we don't get rid of this old thing that God wants us to get rid of, he can't pour the new in. He can't pour the new wine into us. He can't bring the new power. He can't bring the people in. He can't do the revival that he wants to do. Because he needs to do something first with us. He wants to revive our hearts first. And the thing that helps the enemy to go is repentance. And we can't do it any other way, guys. And this morning, I feel that's why I stood up early. Because I feel God wants us to repent from this spirit of hesitation and excuses over our life. Because we've got to move. We've got a gospel to take. We've got a message to take. We've got some people to bring out of freedom with the help of Jesus Christ. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We've got some people that need setting free. And if you don't understand that, you just go ask God to go reveal hell to you. And then maybe you'll understand it. You've got to ask God to go reveal what it's like that those people are going to be in eternity in the fiery pits of hell. And then maybe you'll go tell somebody. Then maybe you'll reach out. Then maybe you'll tell somebody about Jesus Christ who's died for them. And so they've given them a promise of heaven and all that means. Maybe then you'll tell them. But we need to awaken, because hell is real. It's not a make-believe myth that somebody would just speak about. It's real. And that's where people are going. And we need to tell people. And so I can't tell you the urgency on it all. There's lots for us to do, and we need to get into it. And so the key. And this is why Jesus said, roll the red carpet. Roll the red carpet out to your heart. Roll it out. Roll it right out. So I can touch your heart this morning. And what Jesus wants us to do, he wants us to bow. And he wants us to surrender. Because I ask you this question, who are you living for? Are you living for yourself? Or are you living for Jesus? Who are you living for? You'll know that in the things that you do. Who are you living for? And God wants us to bow. And we can't bow if pride is rooted in us. And you understand that we did James. And James 4 verse 6 says, God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Church, I can't tell you how important it is. Keep humble. Keep humble. I'm just going to read you this quick thing and then we're going to pray in a minute. Pride promotes self. Humility lets God do the promoting. Pride considers what's best for me. Humility considers what's best for others. Pride has a short fuse. Humility has a long fuse. Pride says, I know I'm right. Humility says, I could be wrong. Pride looks down on others. Humility looks out for others. Pride complains, but humility is grateful. Pride rebels against authority, but humility submits to authority. Pride is quick to speak, but humility is quick to listen. I just want to say, I don't want to be part of anything that God opposes or resists. I want to keep humble before my mighty God. And so I want to keep bowing. I'm not going to say anymore. So I just feel that, I just feel this morning, can we do without church? Can we put some things down? So maybe, would you do this? And I'll come round. Sorry guys, you won't see me. You know, if you really feel the Holy Spirit has even said anything to you this morning, I believe this bowing and surrendering is massive. Now, I know you might have difficulty on the balconies, but could we do this together as a church? Because I feel that God wants us to do this together, because he wants us to be in unity. He wants us to move together.